Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
And the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them.
CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects. So you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting the high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably
it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
You're
the rest
a tea guy
of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great, though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
The flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it, too, for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis. And she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so awesome. Honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well. I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. This weekend, I will be in Tacoma, Washington at the Uncanny Comedy Festival Friday, October 25th, Tacoma, Washington. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Me, Ronnie Chang from The Daily Show, Jubal Flagg, and a bunch of other heavy hitters. There's going to be pot and comedy in Seattle, baby. So come out south of Seattle, Tacoma, for a great night of comedy for the Uncanny Comedy Festival. And then next weekend, I'm going to be in Houston and Arizona with Dane Cook, Friday, November 1st, in Houston at some cool fucking theater. And then Saturday at Comerica, which holds 5,000. I've been there to see Bill Burr, and now I will perform myself. Very fired up. November 1st and 2nd. Check DaneCook.com for those tickets. And then next week, I'll be all over Los Angeles, Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, Improv, all that ticket info at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams this weekend is going to be in Perrysburg, Ohio at the Funny Bone. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, go see Brad at the Funny Bone in Perrysburg, Ohio. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. Today's guest in our bonus ALN episode, the Goo Goo Dolls. Oh, they're back, baby. This is their fourth time on the podcast. It's It's pretty cool to be friends with rock stars, and especially a band that you love, grew up loving, and still love, putting out consistently great tunes, including their newest album, Miracle Pill, which you can get now on Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, iTunes. Go get it. It's fucking great. Miracle Pill is the name of the album for the Goo Goo Dolls. I think this is number 12, they said on the podcast, which is fucking crazy. This one is just Johnny Resnick, lead singer, and Robbie, I think, was back in Buffalo, I think. But he's been on a few other times and is the shit. So shout out to Robbie for lending us your boy for an hour and change. Johnny Resnick, it's funny how many new stories we get out of people that have been on the podcast before. This was probably one of my favorite appearances of the Goo Goo Dolls. And just so fun and so funny. You know, he's a good yes-ander, told us stories he's never told before, and we just laughed a lot, which is what you want out of a podcast, right? So, get their new album, Miracle Pill, and they're doing a, I think, 20 to 30 city tour going from Austin, Texas this Friday, tomorrow, in Bass Concert Hall, Austin, Texas. Goo Goo Dolls starts off their 2019 into 2020 tour. It's fucking crazy. All these dates I'm looking at, GooGooDolls.com. They're hitting Davenport, Iowa, Kansas City, Oklahoma, Dallas, San Antonio, Louisville, Tennessee. Go see them, GooGooDolls.com, for tour dates. And again, the album is called Miracle Pill, and go get that as well. Get my album, Read the Room, on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, and my comedy music album, which I just finished tonight. Oh my God, I'm so pumped. It's called Songs for the People, and pre-order will be available very soon. I will tell you guys where to get that as soon as it is given to me. But be on the lookout. Very pumped to share this with you guys. Been working on it for some time. It's silly. It's catchy. It's good music. It's funny shit, I think. Who knows? You guys might fucking hate it. Everyone's a critic, right? But I had a blast making it, you know? So I'm pumped to put it out. What else? Emails at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Where you got the pod, how you got into it, your favorite eps. I will be reading more fan mails on Monday. So if yours gets picked, you might get some free Adam Ray merch, okay? Because that's what I'm doing until the new year, because you guys have been so diehard. And Brad is leaving the podcast in December, so we want to go out with a bang. We've obviously going to have the best of episodes in December. But before that, we've got confirmed Jonathan Kite, Brent Morin, Dana Carvey. Those are ALN favorites, right? Harlan Williams, Kelsey Cook, Ada Rodriguez, Alfonso. Holy shit, my boy from the Bellman. He'll be coming on for the first time. Oh boy, who else? A lot. Henry Winkler? Jesus Christ. You got to make sure you subscribe. Tell your family, tell your friends. iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and comment on that page. Helps us climb the charts. All right, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. Oh, wait, do we do the Twitter handles? No. At Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at Goo Goo Dolls on Twitter and Instagram. All right, now we got them out of the way. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode, bonus episode of the About Last Night podcast with the Goo Goo Dolls. I don't like the way I said that. With the Goo Goo Dolls. There we go. Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Anytime.
I love it.
The fact that you want to kick it every time you come into town is great.
Yeah, I love this.
Straight from the Burbank Airport.
It's beautiful.
Do you get snacks at the airport? Are you a, when I land, I'll eat? Or do you, if you're taking off, you're like, let me load up. Who knows?
Depends.
We could get stranded in the sky.
Yeah. I mean, I'll get some junk.
Is there ever a time when you're thinking to yourself, oh man, someone's going to look over and see Johnny Resnick eating M&M's, and that's gonna be weird for them.
They're gonna be like, "Hey, man, I thought you didn't want the world to see you."
Yeah, well,
and you're back, dude. Fuck off.
Like, I know. Well, yeah. The only guy. I mean, it was
stars are just
like
us.
There was like a guy on the plane. There was a guy on the plane today, which was really interesting or stupid, because he's standing behind me, and we're getting off the plane, and he says,
you know, by the looks of you, I'd never expect to see you doing the things you were doing on this flight. And I'm like, what?
Like, what does that even mean?
I was doing a crossword puzzle on my iPhone, and I FaceTimed with my kid.
Yeah, I mean.
And he's like, oh, I was just looking at you. You don't look like the kind of guy that would
cares about his daughter and right, wants to expand right. his horizons intellectually. if you had grabbed the stewardess and just bent her over and done a line of blow off her ass, and then it would have been like, now that's what I expected.
That's a rock star move.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the old days.
What do you, can you sleep on planes?
Yes.
Wow, oh, you what's your bastard. Trick? I'm so envious. Can you, Brad?
Yes, I. Well, I mean,
fuck both of you.
Well, of course I could sleep. Yeah. Coach is a first class seat for me.
Hilarious,
I'm curled up.
Do they ever let you
I'm
go
spread out?
Have
like,
you ever asked if there's space in the overhead bin to spread out and get a full sleeping bag sleep?
One time I was so tired, I was like, yes, can I just go up there? And they of course said no. But then, it's not that bad. You know, I just.
But were they firm with their no, or were they like, no, let us check, but
let
probably
me
not.
Check the manual. No, I tell you what my favorite thing is when I do get bumped up to first class, because I fly a lot, so every now and then American Airlines, shout out to them, they bump me
also,
up.
Also, they're like, do you miss your parents, sweetheart? Do you want to go in the first?
That's the thing, is now people walk in, and especially before I had the beard, they would look at me in first class and be like, what the fuck's wrong with this kid? Like. This is his last flight.
He's having that's his third vodka soda.
Yeah. What the hell is he
this
doing?
This 9-year-old is mature.
Why are they serving him?
Yeah.
Oh, and why is he giving a line of blow off the stewardess's ass?
Wait. So why what's your with that? What's your sleep secret?
Just, Klonopin.
Fuck, dude.
You know, Klonopin.
That's the move.
What? You gotta have a Klonopin.
Yeah.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Sleep aid.
It's like a benzo. It's like an anti-anxiety pill.
Okay.
You know, so you just chew it up. And,
I'm glad you said that and not like, you know, like strong opiates, you know, like something like that where it's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I was just talking to somebody about
propofol.
First time I took
that's my secret.
Ambien. Have you ever taken that?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
I've never
I was
taken
in the
that.
Hospital. It was about 7-8 years ago. And I had some really fun, sassy black nurse. And she comes in and she's like, now, Mr. Ray, you can't have any solid foods for a good 4 to 5 days. So it's going to be Jell-O until you die. And I was like, am I going to die in here? She's like, no, I'm just saying you can have Jell-O for it's going to be a while till you have food again. I was like, well, don't phrase it like that.
Yeah.
So then she's like, if you have trouble sleeping, because I know you're in the hospital by yourself. She's like, I got some pills for you. So I'm sitting there by myself at one point. I started to get a little kind of nervous. So I hit the call button. She comes in. And I go, I'll take some of those drugs. She comes in with 2 Ambien in a little cup. Mm. Usually if they bring whatever in the cup, you're thinking, oh, that's the dose to take.
Right.
Sure.
So I took 2 Ambien. Right. Never taken it before.
Yeah.
One is fine. Probably a half is good. I took 2. 45 minutes later, I saw my dead grandparents on the ceiling in wheelchairs. Hey, guess what? They were never in wheelchairs.
Wow.
But in my psycho Ambien hallucination, they were just like... My girlfriend at the time called me. She's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, my grandparents are on the ceiling. She's like, all right, I think I should come see you. I was like, no, they're here to visit.
No, they're here. They're watching me.
Did you ultimately fall asleep?
Oh, yeah. Greatest sleep ever.
Yeah, greatest sleep ever.
Woke up with just grape Jell-O dripping down my lips.
Yeah, it's the velvet hammer.
Yeah. But the flights, the international flights, too, are usually like a movie guy. Yeah. Then, get caught up on shows.
I do like Audible audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
I like those.
There you go.
You know, because I can pretend I'm at reading when I'm not.
It's the best.
I'm not reading. Instead, I'm eating peanuts.
I'm eating peanuts and listening.
Yeah. Will you write
intently?
On the flight ever?
Yeah, I'll write a little bit now and then. Come with an idea.
Yeah, because you guys
I'll
just
listen
did.
To a ton of music.
Yeah, you guys just did a big international tour. You were opening for Bon Jovi.
Yes. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, so you did what? Brazil? You did...
We did 5 shows in Brazil, was it? 4 shows? 4 shows in Brazil.
Yeah.
And 1 in Peru.
Man, I just saw the Rolling Stones documentary when they went down to South America, and the fans there.
They're rabid, huh?
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Maybe the best fans ever?
Wow. I mean, it was nuts because they knew all the songs, and you're opening for Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
So it's like, and you got to respect the stage. There's only so much I'm going to do on that guy's stage
because
I'm a guest. I'm in his house.
Is there
I'm not going to go out there and try to fucking, you know.
Crush it?
Crush him.
Oh, well, really?
No, I went out and crushed it.
Yeah, you crushed it.
But there's certain things. It's
so, you're not
you realize
gonna do,
you're a guest.
If he does a jump kick, you're not going to do a jump kick.
Well, that's Robbie's job. Yeah. That's Robbie's got to do the jump kick. Yeah. He's
Cause, like,
it's his only move.
Yeah.
Now he's getting fucking old.
You got
to
go with
now
it.
Now he's 55. He's going to have his hip replaced. We're not going to be able to tour.
I've always said jump kick until you can jump kick.
Yeah.
Because the legendary story is that, was it, I think Kiss was opening up for Aerosmith, and then by the end of the tour, it was Aerosmith opening up for Kiss. Because Kiss was just, I mean, they were doing their full show. They were doing the pyro. They were doing the thing.
You can't follow that.
Yeah, and it's like, no, what do you do after that? So like when Bon Jovi says, hey, come and open up for us, are you like, all right, we're getting the confetti cannons, we're getting midgets and diapers, like, what?
No.
I'm just saying I'm available.
I just
next time you go down
south, tried calling.
Call me up.
You didn't pick up.
You didn't pick up. Diaper your size.
We had a lot of fun, mm-hmm. and it was like, and I got to be honest, they were really generous, because a lot of times when you're opening for a big, huge band, they won't let you turn the PA up as loud as them. You don't get any lights. You're just out there. They'll push their gear up on the stage, so you got like 3 feet of stage to play on. But those guys were totally cool about everything, man.
Love it.
The show looked great. It was the crowds were awesome.
Is Bon Jovi aging, or is he in like Tom Brady? They just sleep in like anti oxygen chambers or something like that. Yeah, like,
good question.
He stopped dyeing his hair. I think that's what he did. He stopped dyeing his hair. So he's great, but he's like a handsome motherfucker.
Can you call him Jovi? Sir Bon?
No, man, no.
Jove?
John.
BJ?
John. JBJ.
JBJ?
JBJ.
John.
I go, hey, John, how are you?
Yeah.
And then I like...
He goes, John?
Like,
you go, John?
Yeah, and I'm sort of like, you know, and... But Jovi? The thing is, he's the smartest, shrewdest person the music business I've ever met. And I was always like, if my manager dies, mm-hmm. I'm calling him to manage me.
Wow.
Because he's
savvy as fuck.
He is so smart. That guy takes his shit and makes money. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's true fame.
I mean, he's
only some porn stars.
It's like, I got to sell this. Look at the shape of that. It looks like Jesus.
No, you know, he's...
I see myself in my shit.
He's a friggin' icon.
He is.
Like, because... And it's interesting. I tried to figure out, like, why was it that those guys... Mm-hmm. actually lasted, and all the other bands are playing at the what's that, country house?
The country club, the hometown buffet.
Yeah, they're playing
No, there's the Canyon Club.
Yeah,
thank you, the Canyon Club.
After fried chicken, we've got rap.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because, and then I just started listening to Bon Jovi songs. It was never really my thing, you know, mm-hmm. but. When you listen to how he sings and what he's singing about, it's timeless in a way. It's not as stupid as the rest of that stuff.
There's some
it's actually really smart music. Yeah. It's done really well.
There's some bands that still, like, they know they're going to be playing an arena, and they make a song that's going to fill that arena. Because there's bands that I've seen that are like, wow, I really like your music, but I saw you at a big theater. And it just didn't work.
Yeah, like you got to put on a show.
Yeah, they didn't know how to fill the space.
You're an entertainer.
Yeah, and it's like Jovi, John, JBJ. They just keep. I think there was that one song like Superman Tonight, like 4 years ago. Like they keep having these new hits.
Yeah.
So
that guy works his ass off, and he's always writing music, mm-hmm. and you know, he collaborates with sometimes with. Guy named John Shanks, who's like written 5,000 hits, and mm-hmm. and the songs are great, man. I mean,
but then you look at you guys are still
speaking of still writing
hits.
Songs.
Well,
turning out
but we never had an album that sold like 30 million copies
until now. Miracle Pill is out.
Yeah,
it's out, and
it is out,
and we've listened to it, and it's great, man.
That's cool,
Crush City, man.
Some of it's really good.
A lot of it's good. You're so critical.
There's some shit on there. No, because I listen to it. Come on, man.
Yeah, you
watch yourself.
No.
Doing a show, and you're like, fuck. I should have
done that.
Should have
more
late
to go back.
More leg kicks. When you do release an album, what's the first, like on that day when it comes out, do you, like, I don't know, drive to the top of a hill and, like, listen to it all in a car, or do you take a beat, or have you heard it so many times that you're like, I want to let the reviews and the comments come in, and then I'll decide if I still want to put it in my ears?
I listen to mixes so much through the recording process. I'll take home roughs and listen to them, see what I can work on. Mm-hmm. By the time it's done, you know, I'm still listening to it, but I'm looking for faults. I'm looking for flaws. I'm looking for ways to do it better. Can I go back in and just fix this one little part? Yeah. Whatever, you know? But, you know, I'm generally very critical. And then, you know, sometimes I'll be on an airplane and I'll just put it on and I'll listen to it and I'll be like, all right, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah,
it's not bad. And then I put
away
from
it.
You got to get away from it.
Yeah,
because you go nuts. You'll drive yourself insane.
Do you have like when an album comes out? Do you have a routine to reward yourself? Because I know I just listened to Tito Ortiz on a podcast.
And he
was talking about how after every fight he would go to a supermarket and he just picks every piece of food that he was not allowed to eat
because
he was in training camp.
Wow.
And that's his tradition. So every cake, pie, whatever thing that he wasn't allowed to eat, he just binges on it. So, like, do you have a tradition? Like, well, album just came out. I'm going to drink this shot of whatever, or I'm going to...
No, I mean, I don't know. Did we do anything? I'm not celebrate. I don't remember.
Jenga? Like, what do you do?
Play Jenga. You know, we've made a lot of records.
Yeah, 12. This one's 12.
And it's like,
you have a dozen.
After this record, we just kind of were like, okay, cool, man.
Yeah.
We did a good job. See you. We'll get together. And we started rehearsing right away and then going out and just.
Well, because you guys didn't stop. You guys did the Dizzy anniversary tour.
Yeah.
And which was 15 years or
20?
20 years. 20 years of Dizzy Up the Girl.
Yeah.
And then come right back, you're like, you could have taken time off. He went, no, we're gonna go right out and make this new record.
Yeah, well, you can't do that anymore.
And Boxes was how many years ago?
Three years ago.
Do you kind of just go year to year to decide, like, all right, it feels like we should do another one, or like you've been writing, so you hit everybody up and you go, hey, like, I think we should get back in sooner than later, or is it just trying to stay up and keep the fans?
Yeah, I mean, I'm moving a lot faster than I used to because the world, like, you can't compete with these pop stars.
No.
Because they literally have staffs of writers all over, and then they say, okay, we're going to put your song on hold. Did we talk about this before?
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay, think so. They'll do a thing like, I've written songs for other people.
Okay.
And they're like, we like the song. We're not quite sure. So, you know, we'll want to put it on hold. I'm like, hold? What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, well, Taylor doesn't want to really shake it off right now.
Yeah.
Cher doesn't know if she believes in Love After Love.
Yeah.
So we're going to hold on for just a bit. Like,
so I'm like, no, that's going to cost you $5,000 a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hold the song, it's $5,000 a week.
Wow.
And I was, you know, basically told to go fuck myself. So I don't really write a lot of songs for other people.
Yeah.
But
you got to have some artist integrity, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean,
your time's valuable.
You got to. Yeah, your time's valuable. It's like, I'm going to sit around waiting for you. Fuck you. I'll cut it myself.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'll just send it to somebody else. I don't care.
Is it more fun to play new songs on a tour than songs that people just truly like are losing their fucking minds for?
You know what? I love, I want to keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
And I keep trying to think, like, how can we keep going forward? And I think a big key to doing that was getting other people involved in the writing process with me.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd sit in a room with, say, you or the three of us, and
did he just ask us to write a song with him for the next album?
I would write a song with you guys. But you're going to have to do the lyrics because, you know.
I've been sitting on Dwarf Parachutes.
Dwarf Parachutes?
Dwarf Parachutes. It's a great song because you feel like
sounds
you're
like a
falling.
Lot of G chords.
Feel like you're falling, but then you pull the Dwarf Parachute. It's not enough to get you to stop. Wow, I just pulled that out of my ass.
that's good.
Call up Coldplay.
So you get guys in a room and just kind of all.
Yeah, I'm one guy.
Okay.
You know, you're generally one guy. I worked with this guy, Sam Hollander, who he produces and writes just like massive, cool hits. Like just really crazy producer. Really cool. And he and I wrote Miracle Pill and a song called Indestructible on this album.
Yes.
And then we collaborated on some lyrics for the last song on the album. But I was looking for people that I knew had done at least as well as I have ever done. Or better. You know what I'm saying?
Because iron sharpens iron. You want someone to come in who's really good, and you guys will bounce off each other and make each other better.
Yeah. And he's New York. Like 100% New York. So it's like, so he's just like, dude, that's a pretty terrible. Like, all right, okay,
and
cool.
You need that.
You do need
you
that.
You need that. As much, dude, as it pisses people, you off, yeah. you need it.
Yeah. And it was, see, that brings up a thought that I had. I used to hate Simon Cowell. Because my wife, I mean, I still hate him.
He's so good in V-necks.
In V-necks, yeah. He's the only one, that hair. Yeah, yeah, right. Just like, yeah, and then yeah. The V-neck. But I used to think he was such an asshole.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? That's the only guy up there that's doing these people a favor.
Right.
And it's shitty to do it, and he's not doing it with an honorable intention.
Right, right.
But he is doing them a favor.
Yeah, because sometimes you have to know.
Because if you're bad, I want to know if I'm bad. I listen to live shows of us, and I like listen, and I'm like, oh my God, we sucked that night, you know? I mean, do you ever tape your set?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And do you listen to
it? It's tough to listen back, but you have to be disciplined like that because there are times where nuances, pauses happen in the moment, and it's like you've got, it could, you know, be the reason a joke takes a different turn and crushes harder. I know I've had that a lot where I'm like, oh man, like I just took an extra beat there or said something after or waited for a couple laughs and then said something. And so you have to try to,
but it's that,
but it's also
nuanced.
Difficult to, like, because you listen to it and sometimes you hear it and you go, oh man, that the reaction and the joke felt good in the moment, and just hearing it, you're like, that's not funny.
Right.
Yeah. But it's like,
well, it's so, like being a comedian is like being an actor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You are, if you're funny, you can learn how to be better at it.
Yeah.
But if you're not funny, nothing you can do about it. Like, I can't act, so I'm not going to try. I tried once.
You did?
It was fucking stupid. All I kept thinking to myself, I said, how hard could this shit be?
Yeah.
You know?
I
so I went
natural.
And took one acting lesson the day before I took an act. I'm like, so what do I got to do? What do I got to do? And the guy's like, okay, let's read the lines and, you know, sides or whatever they call them. And then I showed up at some fancy hotel on Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in this room, and they put a camera about 3 feet from my face and said, go ahead, read. And I was like,
cut, take two. That was one of the lines.
Wait, let me try it again. And then
you guys know I wrote Slide, right?
Yeah, and then I just went, I literally was like, I can't waste your time. I can't do this.
You know what? Well, hey.
And it's like, all right, I can't be an actor. That's
what was the part?
I don't remember what the part was, but
Zach
it was
Morris
for
from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. It was it was for the shipping news. It was a movie called The Shipping News.
With Spacey?
No. Yeah, Kevin Spacey. Yeah. The man who cannot be named anymore.
Whatever happened
I'm
to
I'm going
to
get hashtagged.
What happened to Spacey?
What happened to Spacey?
I mean, but you talked about how, like, you were trying to do a few new things with the record. And I think you did because, I mean, there's some instruments on there that aren't typical Goo Goo
music,
instruments. It's not goo music typically.
No,
so you like you expanded. Like, used some
synths
some violins,
crazy
in there,
strings, and like we hired a gospel choir because I always wanted to do that. And
that's cool,
dude. Next time we're working with the gospel choir, you guys got to come down and hang out because I swear to God,
I'll wear some robes, man.
These women and men come in the room, and they sing and they're so amazing. And the rest of the day, everybody is like,
in a positive mood, huh?
Yeah.
You felt it.
Yeah, man. It moved me. The spirit moved me.
How did you think to involve? You just always wanted to, so you were like, all right, this is the time.
Yeah, I thought, wow, it's time to try. I'm like, listen, we got the money, we got the time, and we got the connection.
Yeah.
So let's just do it.
Yeah.
And if we don't use it, so what?
Okay, we tried.
Right? Nothing gained.
Yeah, we tried.
Nothing ventured. Nothing. Well, I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, there's a saying in there.
I don't know what that is.
But
how many people in the choir? Like, what was
there? There was like four or five. At one point, we had six.
Damn.
But it was like, you know, that movie 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah, yeah.
There was like a few of those women in there.
Oh.
And it was like intense.
Those I never thought of singers as true vocal artists until I saw that movie and saw them. And then they would give them notes like, we need a little more pain in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd be like, okay. And I'm sitting here as non-singer going, how do you put more pain in a voice or in a song? Mm-hmm.
And they do it.
And then they would do it. But you're like, holy shit. Yeah,
no, it's incredible. Because we'd be like, hey, can you do a little more funky, a little less church?
Yeah.
You know, and then
Oh
my God, it's insane.
Have you ever had to try to coach yourself into like if you listen back or saw a performance and you're like, man, I didn't feel that one like I normally do. Like, will you in the same vein try to like go, all right, what was the emotion that I originally wrote this?
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're a real professional, see?
Yeah.
There you go.
You think, why wasn't I feeling? It could be that, you know, me and Robbie are, you know, bitching at each other. Yeah. Or, you know, or I'm exhausted. Yeah. I mean, all the same shit
totally.
You guys
all
go
the same
through.
Performer stuff.
And you just, like, you know, once in a while, it's inevitable that one of the songs during the show might get phoned in.
Mm.
Just
of course.
Because you're thinking, like, I'm up. Sometimes I'll think, like,
as you're singing shit. Iris.
Yeah.
What if you accidentally sung that? That would be amazing.
Well, I don't want them to know.
Yeah.
They got no drawers after the show. Wait, what? Did I say that out loud? Sorry, guys.
There is an element too for both of our worlds where it's like that is a challenge to keep it fresh, like and to, you know, do jokes you've done for a couple months, like, and find the same fun behind them and the same point of view and
you
energy.
You take it back sometimes, but that's so hard.
Yeah,
that's where this shit gets freaky, because to go back and try to recapture where you were at that time, it's so important. But that's what you got to do.
Is there a song that
if you're going to deliver?
Yeah.
Is there a song that you do on tour or have done or looking forward to do from Miracle Pill that you feel truly that there's never you know, a moment where you're not locked in?
Oh.
And you sing it every time.
Well, we've been rehearsing stuff for the tour.
I can make a guess, because I would say Fearless.
Fearless is
just
good.
Just because, like, you wrote
that.
Because, like, you wrote it for your daughter.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a song where, like, I would feel that if you're up there singing advice to your daughter, like, I doesn't matter if it's today, if it's tomorrow, if it's 10 years
you're
down the road.
About her.
By the way, you have a kid.
Coming out.
Ta-da!
January. So
very good.
I have questions for you. How do you balance everything?
I don't. I try to get them out as
kid
much
advice.
As possible.
Yeah.
I ask everybody. That's what I do. Anybody who's got a kid older than mine, I ask them what do you do? Because my daughter is like,
she's
gonna be three in December, and she's now. She's at the point we FaceTime. You know, you got to FaceTime. She used to love to FaceTime with me.
Yep.
You know, but now she boop. The little Facebook thing comes on. Her mom puts the phone in front of her.
Yeah.
She looks right at me.
Yeah.
She says, "No, I don't want to talk to you." And then she goes, and then she does it with her arm. She goes, "You talk to him." And I'm like, "Wait, whoa, hold on. This is like hundreds of thousands of years of evolution."
Yeah, dude.
Like,
wow.
I'm like, great. I got another woman in my life. Bitching at me. Like, I live in a house full of women. I grew up in a house full of women.
Yeah.
I live in a house full of women now.
Yeah, dude. You can't escape
and
it.
And I'm just like, and I'm the only guy, which I like being the only guy.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, there's perks to being the only guy.
Fuck yeah. Sure.
It's like occasionally someone will be like, "Hey, I folded your laundry for you."
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you so much.
I love this.
But
is it crazy to grow up without that technology and then this generation is just going to be like, you're like, this is crazy that we're looking at each other right now. Let's take advantage of this technology in this moment. But she's just like, nah, I've seen it before.
Yeah, my dad's in Peru.
Yeah.
So what?
Oh, I get to talk to him on the phone and see him.
She gets pissed. She's at that age. She's in that shitty two thing, you know, the terrible twos or whatever.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Koi CBD. Ooh, CBD oil, baby. Feeling relaxed just hearing me talk about it, aren't you? If you don't know what CBD oil is, don't feel like a dum-dum. Adam's here to tell you. CBD is an oil derived from industrial hemp and has no psychoactive effects, man. So you can get the medical benefits, okay, from the hemp plant without getting high. There's no weed. You're not going to get paranoid. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. People use CBD oil for pain, depression, anxiety, stress, inflammation. New benefits are being discovered for CBD oil all the time. My mom uses the topical cream from Koi CBD, and it's helped immensely, which is big time because she's been having a tough time with arthritis and finding a solution. And Koi CBD is stepping up to the plate with their topical creams. They've got tincture droplets, vape pens, edibles, pet products for your dogs and cats to chill out. Come on, it's a stressful life being a cat and a dog. You want to chill out? Get some Koi CBD treats. They got topical products and more. All their products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's a family-owned and operated company, and it truly is the best-tasting CBD products on the market. I feel like left and right, people are approaching me after shows, just being in the comedy business, because comedy and And, you know, CBD kind of go hand in hand. It's a great stress reliever for our world. The Koi CBD gummies I fuck with daily because it puts me in a zen state before I start my day. And at night, kind of relaxes me and helps me sleep better, quite honestly. It's America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the Koi CBD products are THC-free, and there's a guaranteed purity, safety, and consistency level in all of their products. They're the best tasting CBD products on the market. Again, I've tried so many. The amount of people that have, you know, been like, try these pens, we got these flavors, and these, you know, you can put strawberry. Root beer foot. Like, shut up, man. No, I'm going with Koi CBD because they got the most shit and the best tasting shit. And quite honestly, it's made me feel the best out of any of the products I've tried. And that's why they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. So if you want to get your stress relief on, your relaxation going, and start living a better, healthier life, get rid of that depression, anxiety, stress, and just start feeling better, then get hooked up with Koi CBD, okay? Head on over right now to KoiCBD.com, that's KoiCBD.com, and enter promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. That's Koi, KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. Gummies, tinctures, pens, creams, they got it all. I'm telling you, they're the shit. And Brad and I couldn't love them more. Who knows? They might fucking make Brad grow, which would ruin his act, but would help him reach the Cocoa Puffs on the top shelf.
But, like, when she's fun, man.
The best, huh?
I can't wait because I'm going to use her as a prop in every prank I want to pull on my wife. About four, she'll be so malleable. I'll be able to tell her to do anything she will.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be like, so we're gonna get fake blood and, like, you know.
Oh, you're gonna go for it.
Oh, we're gonna
in January, not even Halloween.
Gonna carry her in the house. Oh my god, Melina!
My god.
I dragged her from behind the car.
Do I have your attention now?
Yeah.
And then she'll just come alive and she'll laugh.
Cause yeah.
She won't get it. Yeah. Like she will just, or just, oh yeah.
She's funny. I mean, she's
so cool.
Yeah, and my mother, it was funny because I was thinking, because I'm terrified when my daughter is going to go dating.
Sure.
Because she's got my genes.
Yeah, which means
are you going to take karate or jiu-jitsu?
I'm going to start doing Krav Maga because I just want to crush someone's testicles and walk away.
Oh, dude, I've always said when my nieces who are 10, when they hit like 13, even 12, I'm going to be in the best shape of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Just to fend off tiny boners.
You got it.
Block all the tiny boners.
But you guys have so much reference because think about what you were thinking and doing and or doing when you were 15,
not
16
cool,
years
dude.
Old.
Yeah.
And it's like,
not cool.
Yeah. And girls, I just want to, you know what? I don't care if she wants to do whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want her to have enough skill at killing someone to just not get in a situation she doesn't want to be in.
Totally.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, listen, you're 15, 16, your hormones are raging, you're going to do what you got to do, but we're gonna discuss all the important things.
Yeah.
You know?
You try to cover every potential scenario that they could walk
into. But you're never going to.
Yeah.
You're never going to.
And it's like, and it's constantly changing and evolving. Like now there's a thing where when you have a kid, boy or girl, you have to sit them down and have a conversation with them and say, hey, don't send pictures of your shit to anyone.
Right.
Because then then that follows you forever.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah. Unless you're
my favorite one is like, my favorite is like people who post insane shit on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And they go apply for a job.
Yeah.
And the guy's like,
I didn't get it.
Yeah. I'm not hiring that asshole.
Tell me about
look what he did in Cabo.
Tell
me about the album titled Spring Break Titty Fun. Is that is that you and your friends or is that your mom?
How does this play into how you're going to contribute to this company?
That's crazy. Is it hard to go out on tour when like she's there and she does she look at you like say don't leave or anything like that?
Yes, she does. And it's like
it's going to wreck me.
And I know I'm going to fuck her up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're gonna fuck your kid up.
Sure.
It's just to varying degrees.
Yeah.
It's like varying degrees, and it's like I'm like, what am I gonna do? Don't judge her.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be inconsistent.
Yeah, that's very important.
Keep the united front with my wife. Because you're traveling a lot.
Yep.
So what's gonna happen is every time you come home,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna get in a fight because there is a system.
Yes.
and you come in every couple of months, yes, like, hey, daddy's home, here you go.
Yeah.
Passing out candy and gifts and giving your wife a wad of cash. Yeah, she's going to be like, it's about time you showed up to see your kid.
Yeah.
You know?
And
it's
I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, what? About time I showed up. Yeah, did you enjoy this like free heat and lights and cable?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
While I was gone?
I was
did
out.
You enjoy
How
that?
How do you think?
Yeah. Oh, I know those fights are already going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Because like you say, they have created an ecosystem without you.
Yeah.
And then you come in and expect them to change their ecosystem for you because now you're back. It's like, well, now we're going to sit all down and watch football. Yeah. And you're like, and you're, we don't do that.
And you're filling a bowl with chocolate pudding and Lucky Charms and feeding it to the kid. Nah, she's going to love me. She's going to love it now. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, we already know that. You and know? We already know that I'm going to be fun dad. And she's got to be the disciplined mom. And we already kind of know that. Yeah. But
it happens.
I'll embrace that role.
Yeah.
I'll be fun dad.
Can you just
but
determine?
There's times.
There's times what?
There's times where I'm like, oh man. I just like, I'm gonna fucking hit her. And then I'm like, no, I'm not.
You don't.
No,
you
I'm not.
You suppress that.
You don't.
Yeah, you take a beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's, if you go through your entire relationship with your significant other without thinking about all the horrible things you'd like to do, that you're not a human being then.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's normal to have thoughts about your kid of like, what the fuck? Like, it's normal.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
You don't do it. You don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't act on it.
Like, I mean, well, when I was a kid,
because
I'm older than you guys,
mm-hmm.
I mean, your parents beat the shit out of you, and the nuns beat the shit out of you, your older siblings beat the shit out of you,
my rabbi
asshole around the corner.
Me, and I didn't ask for it. Yeah. That was like punishment. You know what I'm saying?
That's,
we're talking about getting
a
beat down.
3 days later, just took a part of your body off of you.
Well,
my wife is from Argentina.
Yeah.
Her family's from Argentina, and they're Latin, so they got her ears pierced about 12 seconds after she was born.
Whoa.
And I was like, I didn't get my ears pierced till I was 13. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
I'd like to be part of the decision.
I went to the mall. I went to Claire's like a real man.
Yeah, I went to the Piercing Pagoda.
The Piercing Pagoda. That sounds like the best male porn star ever.
Did you see
that? Oh, yeah, you're doing a scene with Piercing Pagoda?
Oh, man. You better wrap up.
Well,
this guy's got every STD. Was there... can you determine from, and this will be helpful for Brad too, like from when your daughter was born and like first words like mom, dad, like is there, does she pick, I mean, obviously like attached to mom through a lot of the experience prior to being born. So is there an allegiance that's already formed or does she say dad first and can you tell
I think she said mama first.
Yeah.
You know? And or I think she actually probably said Nona. Because do you guys have someone to help you? Do you have someone's mom moving in?
Yes.
Alexa?
Okay. yes.
Alexa, feed my
Alexa,
child.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Because you know what we did?
Oh, Alexa, have the talk about sex with my daughter. Thanks. Deuces.
Okay.
Dude, that's a great bit. You got a bet.
You really
am writing that.
That's so funny.
Ultimate lazy parenting.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit I hate is when you see like a kid sitting at a table in a restaurant with headphones and an iPad in front of him, just like shoveling mac and cheese into their face. Mm-mm. It's like, dude, talk to your kid.
Yeah.
Get that shit out of here and just talk them. Now, on airplanes, forget it. All bets are off.
That's
you want to smoke crack?
Yeah.
If you're three and you want to smoke crack
stay
in the bathroom, go. Do it.
Does that knock you out for the 5 hours?
I'll keister the rock and leave it in the bathroom for you.
Yeah.
But because you're not, all you care about is that people don't go, oh, that kid's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I was like, and I, my wife and I said that to each other when she was first born. We were like, if this kid grows up and she's an asshole, it's our fault.
Yeah.
Not hers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our fault.
Yeah.
And you know what? My daughter is the only person ever in my entire life that I love without a second thought.
Yeah.
And my wife, what a shitty job she's got, man.
Yeah.
You know, but at least she didn't. But we had her mom.
Yeah.
We had her mom.
We have her mom who lives down the street, so that's going to help.
That's the greatest thing ever.
So, give you a break, right?
So we can have those times where I come back and be like, hey, we need a date night, or we need to go out, or we need to just not have a kid for 2 hours so we can feel like adults again.
Totally.
We need to go to Jumbo's Clown Room right off of Sunset. That's and great. Drink some cheap beers and
go to
have
Dave and Buster's, fuck in the bathroom, feel like a person.
Make sure you take care of the relationship.
Where we'll turn to her mom and be like, hey, I'm gonna go fuck your daughter in the bathroom, because so we feel like adults.
Well, okay, that's kind of the situation, is like your sex life turns into like this
Rubik's Cube
fumbling
oh Jesus
encounter, like in the closet, like you just like shove her in the closet.
Yeah.
You know, and just
gotta go fast.
We got 5 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
That's all you need.
Don't worry, I'll use 2. No.
All these supermen out there trying to go for 20 to 30. I'm like, dude, you're setting the bar too high, man.
No, don't do it.
5 to 10. Get in, get out. 10. Have your fun.
5 to 10.
High five at the end.
That's all you need. Yeah. You don't want to get too sweaty.
They don't want that either.
No,
you know, that's a lot.
They want it.
There's only so much the human body can take.
That's short and sweet. That's always the best.
Short and sweet. That's my nickname.
Your nickname or your nickname?
Both. Short and sweet comes at you with the short and sweet.
Yeah.
It's great.
Is the rehearsal process, do you still enjoy it? Because I know we got to, we're privileged to come hang for a photo shoot.
Right.
Which was, so fun for us.
It was so great. Fun. Thank
I didn't realize,
you
oh, God, anytime.
It was awesome.
We'll do it every time. It was so.
I got to bring booze next time for you guys, though.
Well, dude, truly
tell
if you want
to. We'll bring it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll bring
it.
But,
you know, I mean.
It was fun. It was also a true test to be like, can we not drink in the afternoon and hang out with rock stars and still have fun? Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
But also, you guys are so fun, and it's like having some built-in rapport was great. And everyone around, and Steve, and your photographers, and your whole team, like everybody was in good spirits.
Everybody was having fun. It was good.
But being around it, I could understand the monotony that does occur and why you guys were like, oh, if you come hang, maybe just to like... Because we weren't, I remember when we first got out there, when you guys started taking pictures, Brad and I definitely kind of stepped up and just kind of started like throwing out jokes. And I was like, we kind of looked at each other like, is this what we're going
to
do the whole time?
Maybe we didn't want you to do that.
5 hours?
And then we backed off.
We just want you to hang.
And then we hung, and then it was like, because then in between shots, you'd come, we'd talk, we'd laugh for 10 minutes, and then you'd go shoot, and you could see it in the camera that you were just like excited to go
you
shoot.
You guys relaxed us. Yeah. It was like, it was almost like you guys were.
We were human
clonopin. You were the fluffers. You were the fluffers for the photo shoot. It was, no, I mean,
okay with that.
No, you
job.
just spread some good vibes. Like your audience should know this, but you know, I mean, you're who you are, man. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's not like you're just regular guys.
Yeah,
fun. It's fun. It's great. You know,
and it was such a great time, and you guys were so welcoming, because you guys are doing the photo shoot and like
still business.
Didn't done it 1,000 times, and this is something. So this is something that you do. To sort of help yourself, to just be like, feel like a normal human being still.
Yeah.
So you're not being yelled at like a trained monkey to hold an umbrella while 1,000 pills fall on you.
Which, by the way,
is awesome.
Dude, great shots.
The artistry and just the imagery and, dude, is so like next level for the artwork for this album. And is there just, because you guys went with the cover is the picture.
It's like a ripoff of a Saul Bass kind of poster from the 60s.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And the girl's holding a pill.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm already getting shit for it.
For real?
Yeah. Look,
the hater's gonna hate.
Just hate. You know, oh my God, you're promoting drug use and that.
No.
And the woman's holding the pill and the okay sign is a racist code.
Oh, yeah,
for,
by the way.
God. I'm like, what the fuck
somebody
is
just
going
said
on?
That you can't do that now at like basketball games, like the 3-point, like.
Yeah, you can't do
this
like
white
free
power
goggles.
Or something.
It means white power or something. It's
what
like,
about this move that they taught us in music class?
Yeah. Remember
that? Is that the white power goggles? What is that?
That's white power. Power doing a handstand.
Like, I mean, this used to be my go-to move to like make a girl laugh in fourth grade, and now it's like,
now
how did those morons co-opt that?
Like, can we just have a meeting and be like, dude, you can't take simple things like that? Could, like, you can't.
Soon the thumbs up is gonna be like, hey, dude,
don't do that.
That's a thumb in the butt.
I always get a little nervous.
Thumb a kid? Is that what you want to do? Yeah, you're like, no, I'm just doing a thumbs up.
The other thing I think they're gonna get rid of. Is the K's at the baseball game?
Because
I got to say, when there's 3 K's up there, I get really uncomfortable.
Yeah, like somebody strike someone out. Yeah. Fast.
Like, come on,
man. Oh, boy. No, he's striking a black guy. Oh, God. Yeah.
That's not good. Why are we cheering?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Was there a moment of the photo shoot that you, like, it seems like you guys also, you go for it. You understand everything. They came with a lot of fun get-ups and like.
Well, we went and got those.
Oh, cool.
Because
so you
I
were involved
to,
in all
I said to Robbie, I'm like, listen, I'm not going to put on another pair of black jeans and a leather jacket and stand in front of a wall full of graffiti. I'm not doing that anymore. That
Which was cool.
That shit's played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's played.
Mm-hmm.
So I dragged him to a costume warehouse. Steve and I dragged him to a costume warehouse. And he's like, I don't know, man. You know, we're going to like dress up like the fucking village people. What the hell's going on? And I was like, no, man. Look at it. We could be bellboys, you know?
Yeah.
Like just try to just roll with it for a little while. And then he did. And the little bastard. Well, I love him.
Yes. But it's a brother relationship.
Yeah, but it's a brother relationship. And like we walked out of the place that we did the photo shoot. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, man. That was a lot of fun. We should do that again. I'm like,
wow.
Fuck you. I hope a homeless guy pisses on me.
And we'll use that as the cover.
Yeah. But like you had a bunch of different looks. Like you say, you had the bellboys. You had
Evel
like
Knievel.
Evel Knievel stuntman.
Was, I mean,
yeah. You were like pushing
airline
each other
pilots,
in golf carts.
Airline pilots.
You had like
that was
a
fun.
Steampunk look to you too, yeah. Like a fancy gentleman or something like that.
Fancy gentleman.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's cool that you guys get such a kick out of whether it be your new lyrics, whether it be the album cover, whether it be promo photography. It's all part of the creative process.
Yeah,
and you guys have fun being creative, whether it be a photo shoot or writing new lyrics.
Yeah. Well, you gotta keep going. And you know that too. You guys know that too. The second you stop, you're dead, especially in this world.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I think about all the bands that came up with us and bands that we opened with, and it just felt like around the year 2000, they all just said, eh, fuck it.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Where's the new Radicals?
You know? Well, actually,
great.
Our guitar player and our keyboard player used to play with them.
Shut really? The fuck up.
Yeah, man, yeah.
You only get what you give.
Dude. Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because even
he's an interesting guy. You should get him on your show.
Oh, even in that song, he calls out a bunch of artists, and then some aren't like doing it as much anymore. Fashion sheets with Beck and Hanson, Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson, they're all fixed run to your mansions. It's like Courtney Love and Hole, they're not touring right now. You know, Hanson, I think
they still play.
I'd love to have more of them.
Yeah.
More Hansons.
Really
make some more Hansons.
Well, you gotta wonder at some point they're gonna have Hanson Juniors,
yeah,
and then Hanson Juniors.
Hanson Junior,
Hanson Deer,
yeah, and yeah. Then do yeah. They?
They'll make it fancy.
Like, would you be pumped or bummed if your daughter took in the? I think last time you were on, she's already was showing signs of musical abilities.
A little bit.
Is that inherited or also like is she seeing
you? No, she's
you
just banging on a piano.
Yeah,
you know, and
but it's fair elite.
She doesn't like when I play guitar.
Oh, really?
No, because if I play. She likes one song that I sing.
Baby
what
Shark.
Is
and Baby Shark. No. She gets really embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
And she's just like, no, don't. I can't.
Wow.
She goes, she's, I can't.
See, she's
I can't.
Got time to she be embarrassed.
She's three. She can't even already.
Yeah. I just don't.
So you got to save the embarrassment for when she's like 16 and you show up and you guys allowed her to have some friends over in the basement and you come down playing Name and they're like, I thought you guys might want to take this party up a notch.
Yeah.
Like, Dad, will you go upstairs, like, bring us some Zimas and go away?
It's like Guy Lombardo showing up.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm an old dad. I'm 53, man. You know,
is that an old dad?
That's, well,
I guess now.
I got a little bit of money. To me.
I got a little bit of dough, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, the dads at preschool, I mean, I'm dealing with guys that are 20 years younger than me.
Damn.
You know?
Now that's my question, is how do you deal
with
other
dads?
Parents or
I have
yeah,
I go on
kids
tour.
Parents.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
you know, John, I would love you to come to my barbecue next weekend. It's like, dude, I'm gonna be gone.
Yeah.
Oh, what about the weekend after? Dude, I'm actually gone every time you ask me.
Yeah.
So
everybody in the neighborhood that we live in is really,
chill.
Really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really, really welcoming. I was surprised, you know, because
that's the shit that scares me even more than like, I think I'm going to be a good dad. I don't know how I'm going to be able to go to a kid's second birthday party and some guy's telling me that, like, hey, you know, I'm the funny one in my accounting office.
Oh.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Or what's that joke you have, too, about somebody saying that they went up to you and they were like, you know, it was great to see you live because my brother, he's also handicapped.
Some guy came up to me like, what a coincidence, you're dwarf. My brother's retarded. I was like, that's... That has
nothing to do with it. It's nothing.
He wants to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
But you're
going
to get dads that, like, oh, and I'm sure the same thing, right, that fan out and they just, like, they don't know how to talk to famous
dad,
person rocks, like,
has any dad started, like, playing an acoustic guitar in front of you? Like, I got a couple of tunes.
Well, there's a dad band in the neighborhood.
There's a dad band?
There's a dad band.
Are you in the dad band?
No, but I would like to be.
Yeah.
I actually want to be.
I was going to say you should.
Because what I want to do is I want to stand in the back, play rhythm guitar, maybe sing a harmony.
Yeah.
Like
you're not the lead guy anymore.
No, I don't want to be the lead guy.
You don't have to be.
I'm the dad band.
No,
I'm
the dad band. Let Chuck be the lead guy.
Yeah. But all my neighbors are really cool. I love the guy across the street because he's just like...
Okay, that's good.
That's helpful, by the way, right?
Yeah, he's super cool.
Did you guys immediately try to get to know your neighbors?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because that's kind of a lost art.
You got to know your neighbors. I mean, like, that's why I moved back east. Because, like, you know, living in L.A., trying to know your neighbors is really tough. But, you know... I mean, again, not to go back to the kid thing, but like where your kid goes to school and all that kind of stuff is going to dictate a lot of the people you socialize with.
Absolutely, no.
And
we're
somewhere you're
we're
like,
already
oh.
looking. We're already looking. Not even born yet. And we're like, all right, are we?
But
doing
that's
this?
What you got to do in L.A.
Yeah,
you got to like the principal, the school has to examine the sonogram to see if the kid's worthy enough to go to your school.
Yeah. For real?
That's, no.
That's,
oh, no,
that's
but
it's a good shaped head.
It's just,
we'll let her in.
Yeah. I don't like the shape of her nose.
Yeah. There truly is something to, you know, I found this in just moving into my new place, like, and trying to get to know some of the neighbors and some of them being a little standoffish.
Oh, yeah.
And having this, like, 2019 guard up of, like, whoa, don't talk to me, serial killer.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, did you see the episode of Sesame Street in 1993 where who are the people in your neighborhood? It's like, that song... Catchy as fuck was made for a reason, so that you step out of your box and like, and the more comfortable you are around the people where you live, like the more comfortable you're gonna live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
I don't know if you have to bring pies over or like.
I mean,
showing up and dancing would probably make them go, "Come on in anytime you want."
Wife brought food. Neighbors all love us, except for the one who's actually an Instagram influencer. So it's like we're competing. He's way more famous than me.
Really?
But for what?
He does rants in his. In his bedroom.
Oh, God.
I follow him. It's nothing special.
Can you
he
please
does rants?
Do, like, you should try to do an Instagram live and get him to, like, you know, go live with you. And, you know,
he's got, I mean, he's way more famous than me. He's got like 3 million followers. I don't even know what he does.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's LA.
Are you guys finding new fans from this album? Like, because that's what's also cool about just staying at the top like you guys are and continually putting out great shit.
Yeah.
Is it you're going to get... You know, fans coming out that have been diehard for a while like us, and then you get them bringing friends and kids our age bringing their kids.
Well, we've been trying to, you know, like we went out and we toured with Train last summer, which was awesome.
Yep.
Great tour, great guys. You know, played in front of a lot of people because they got a lot of people, you know, and we got our people and they kind of the two groups got together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you hope that some of their audience will
trickle over.
Yeah. Sure. And vice versa, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's been cool. And like, you know.
Yeah, we saw you with Collective Soul when you guys toured with them. And that was really like I had forgotten about Collective Soul. And then I saw them open up for you guys. And I'm like. These guys are great.
No, they're amazing.
That was a good combo.
I forgot how many hits
they
had.
What a great band. And those guys never stop. Never. Wow. Always writing, recording, touring. Write, record, tour.
Yeah.
They
amazing. They have it down to an art, man. It's cool that, and also the thing about going to one of your shows is that whether it be you're with Club Soul or Train or whatever or Bon Jovi, that's just a fun show.
Yeah.
That's like a lot of... Like, you're not going to walk out of that, sure, I'll turn on Adele every now and then, but I feel like if I hear 2 hours of that stuff...
Boring.
Dude. Oh, that's like a therapy session right there. That's
I
a
know,
little,
yeah.
That's a little heavy, man.
Yeah,
that's
you guys
heavy.
Work the stage, you're like true... You there's a handful of true rock stars left, man, that just, like, bring it on stage, smile or moving, you guys talk... Your crowd work is getting fucking spot on.
I need tutelage from the masters.
No,
I like to throw a little joke in.
It's great,
you know,
dude, and
but
people
I'm
love
not,
it.
I'm not good at the when I say,
dude, and I'm glad
you say,
dude. But people are singing anyway.
Yeah, but you know, I mean,
the call and answer stuff.
Trying to exploit some of the more cliched rock,
sure,
shtick.
Yeah.
It's Amen. Like, there's got to be a way to do it where it's not. Like I don't do encores anymore.
Okay.
Like,
why?
Because it's like, oh, yeah, come on. Because I'll tell you, you want to know the truth?
Yeah, yeah.
Because a few times when you stop playing.
Yeah.
And you're expecting the crowd to go.
Yeah.
And they don't. Yeah. It's like, well, I guess they had enough. Yeah. Let's go home.
All right.
Yeah. You know?
We're not, yeah.
Yeah, they had enough. Yeah. All right. Well, they don't want any more.
We're not going to play So Alive tonight, I guess.
No, I just decided, you know, you go off stage, the lights go down a little bit, but there's something going on. There's like this, like, so you know that the show is not over.
Yeah,
you know it's not over, and there's some music playing or some weird drum thing or something like that.
What about for like one of these private birthday parties? Encore for that if they're just so fucked up and the guys are literally like, I'll give you $100,000 to sing two more songs.
That's yes.
That you're like, they don't even have to be my songs, dude. What do you want me to sing right now?
I know. You know what I like?
Baby Shark. Not for my kid. I don't have a kid. Look at me.
Yeah. You do privates, right?
Yeah.
Like for just rich guys.
He got flown to China for the King Jong. Who was it?
No,
Kim Jong.
No, it wasn't Kim Jong.
All right, dude, take it easy.
Some finance guy, but he flew me out to Hong Kong to do a show for his birthday party.
Wow.
So and was it
cool?
Because I want to do more of them. Yes.
Yes.
It was very cool.
It was cool. I mean,
rich guys might be listening to this, going, I want to hire Brad Williams. You absolutely should.
Have you noticed the difference between the people who earn their money and the people that just came into it?
1,000%.
Yeah. Because big difference. The people that come into it are fucking assholes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
The guys that earn their money.
Yeah.
Great guys.
Humble.
They want to tell you all about it. You know what? What was it?
Tell them the story.
I got a job, you know, burning tires.
Yeah.
You know, on a pile in Ohio when I was 17.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then they've made good. So I admire those guys.
Do you mix it up with people at the party if it's a real intimate thing?
Definitely.
Because it's weird if you don't. If it's 50 people and you're playing, like, and they're.
No, you gotta.
And they respect your, you know, personal space and don't just.
There's just one guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's always just one guy, buddy.
One guy
that just gets a little like he pre-gamed at 3. The show was at 8.
Yeah,
and he's just like, dude, I just did a fucking googie dust, and he comes up. He's the first guy you see.
Well, yeah, this particular guy felt like he bought us for the night.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? Like a hooker.
I have an idea. Why don't you change your name to Dolls Goo Goo? Maybe that's.
Well, all you and pay you. You're, you know, and there's a little of that, but
no thanks.
But.
No.
It was kind of funny because we're doing the show and this guy's drunk and he just kind of stumbles up on the stage. You know, it's his wife's birthday party.
Yeah, sure.
And he goes, I just want to say.
Okay, is this a speech in front of everybody?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He just did right in the middle of a song. I want everybody to meet here tomorrow at 11 because we're going to take. And he brings his wife up.
Yeah.
Honey. We're going to take the old yacht.
Oh, God. Leave me out of this.
Out to your new yacht.
Whoa.
Which guy he got her for her birthday.
Got her a yacht?
Got her a yacht.
That was her present?
That was her
present. Remember that old piece of shit yacht?
It only had 5 bedrooms and a helipad? Yeah. Fuck that. This one's got a submarine
and a waterbed.
Yeah. This was in Florida, so they have that like so intercoastal waterway thing or whatever.
Yeah.
This was too big to come in there. So they got to anchor it out somewhere and take the old yacht.
Jeez,
to the new
going yacht.
Yacht
to yacht is truly fuck you money.
Yeah, that's insane.
So mid song, did you keep playing? Did you stop singing and be background instrumental for his shitty speech?
I went. This guy is paying me way too much money to cop an attitude.
Yeah,
so
good call. And that's a pro move.
Yeah, they had
it's yours.
You.
Yeah, floor's yours.
They had you on the old yacht. They took the new yacht to see Train. That was weird.
That was
Train was on the new yacht.
Yeah. Train always got on the new yacht.
Train's got that new yacht smell.
Yeah.
we have a question because you talked about yachts, so this is kind of a good segue. Have you guys ever done cruises?
Yeah, I just did a cruise of the Mediterranean with Bon Jovi.
Whoa,
just him though.
Okay,
and he's got a band. They're like, I think they're called like the Lords of Suburbia or something like that. I don't know what they're called, but
some
really good
fun.
Really
okay,
really awesome.
You did cruises. Like you would do them again.
You know, well, I'll do it again if we do it the way we did the Bon Jovi one.
Okay.
What are you doing next Halloween because we are doing our first ever About Last Night podcast cruise.
Are you
out
serious?
Of Long Beach?
Yeah, wow.
We have Mexico. A whole goddamn comedy jam band.
Going?
We're going to Baja, Mexico.
Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's like four days.
4 days.
Yeah.
2 days, 4 days.
4 days.
Yeah, 4 days.
How do you do this? How do you get like?
So
get
the people that did Adam Carolla's whole thing, they hit us up and they were like, yo, we love you guys. We think we could do a cruise. Like, let's put it together.
Amazing.
So we did. So we have, we're going to do a podcast, meet and greets. And then
shows.
We have this band, a friend of ours, that's going to play and do like a costume contest because it's over Halloween weekend.
That's
people
really
are always
fun.
Looking for something to do on
that's,
Halloween.
You're going to have a lot of fun.
All we're saying is we can give you a lot of free shrimp. Do you want to come play the cruise?
Will you pay, will you play for shrimp? And the guy who gave the speech about the yachts is going to be there.
That'd be
opening for us.
Yeah, I'm available. I'm available.
Yeah. I mean, you have to wear a costume.
Just make sure you've done cruises then. Right?
Yeah.
Don't you, I mean, you're surrounded by
crazies.
A couple of thousand maniacs.
I've done,
they're drunk.
Totally.
Yeah. I've done a couple. The two I did were really good. Mm-hmm. I didn't have too many problems. And I wasn't like, I wasn't the star of the cruise, so it was fine. They were off looking for like the main stars. So this is going to be like a little different animal. And the thing is, I can't hide, Johnny.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't like.
Yeah. But they got to have like a part.
Yeah.
Of a deck that's just sealed off for you guys.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to mix it up as much as possible. I feel like
I wish I could do that. I'm just not. Just like,
mm-hmm. go back to the bunk. As long as I don't hear, I wonder if he floats. Thrown towards Brad's direction, I think it's going to be a great cruise.
Yeah.
If I hear that, I know to panic, you know?
I've watched some old movies where, like, some spies have, like, those, like you pull a button Inspector Gadget style and then, like, floaties pop out.
Yeah.
I might have to wear one of those.
Yes, you could get one of those.
Yeah.
That's so funny. For the live pod, if you come out wearing that and pull it and just inflate just to open the show.
I'm ready, you drunk sons of bitches. Yeah, you want to chuck me? I got a life vest. I got a Batman. Grappling hook gun.
You can't kill me.
You can't kill me. I'm going to stay on this boat.
Not this Halloween.
I love the grappling hook gun. Yeah. That's something like, I wonder if you could really get one.
I know,
I mean,
dude.
I kind of want
one. What a way to leave the stage, right?
Yeah.
Just, all right, guys. just fucking fly into the sky.
That'd be amazing.
Now, we know and we're very thankful that you always do our podcast.
Yeah, dude.
I love
it. And our fans love it, too. So when you keep coming on.
I mean, but you also did another show that we're both huge fans of. Mm-hmm. You recently did Stern, and like, is that just like, are you a Howard fan? Are you just cool?
I mean, how can you not be?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, how can you not be? And it's weird because like the way he's sort of what he's grown into, it's like that's the best long form interviewer. I think him and Joe Rogan are the best. Like, I think the best. Long form,
totally
interview.
Now,
get down. Like people, for some reason, just
open up.
Can't keep anything to themselves.
No. Yeah,
when they're with the
Stern's brilliant at rephrasing. Mm-hmm. If he'll ask you one question, also I think everyone knows. I'm sure you can attest to this. You know how many people are listening, so you want to make it good. But like, have you ever hesitated on like a certain detail or story, and you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't? But then Stern will ask it again in a different way, and you're like, you got me, you bitch. I'll say it.
He wasn't there. We just played music.
Right.
He wasn't there. So, but the couple times we were on the show, I was just so intimidated, you know? I just felt like, oh, shit. Because like when we first had a hit, it was like, oh, these guys are gay. These guys are gay. Oh, you know, we're the gay band. So we stepped up and went, you know? And it's it was like, you know, I mean, we're the last people on earth who are going to be able to bust balls, you know? Because it's just like, everyone's too sensitive.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
You know, when I talk to an 18-year-old kid and they bust his balls a little bit, it's just like, what are you talking about? I'm just breaking your balls a little.
Yeah,
huh?
You gotta
go back and get fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be rough. That's going to be a rough time for me also as a dad, where I'm like having other kids, or like they're six. I make a joke about them. They're like, they go cry. I'm like, I said that.
Yeah. I have a peanut allergy, you asshole.
I know. Well, see, that's like Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
Some asshole said, I'm sorry, we have a peanut allergy on the plane today, so you get pretzels. And I'm like, I want those fucking peanuts. I came for peanuts.
I will pay for the hospital bills for that family. Just give me a bag of peanuts.
Give me an EpiPen. I will chuck it at this guy's heart. Yeah. And
they should provide EpiPens.
Yeah. They should take that person.
Don't outlaw peanuts because there's peanuts. One. Yeah.
I think it's.
Also, dude, don't be selfish, man. Take the train.
Yeah.
If you know you got a fucking allergy, dude, hey, guess what? There are bird scooters that can travel long miles. You
charge it up,
bastard.
You can get to Austin, Texas
you
on your own time.
Ruiner.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just
So there's still shows out there like Stern Show that you guys have been doing this for a while now, but that you still kind of get up for like
Oh man.
Like we're doing Stern today or we're doing the Tonight Show. That was awesome.
That was like you know what was good about that? We got to do retakes of the songs cuz they recorded it.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just like, no, there is no way
right.
that I'm going to put a half-assed performance out there.
Good move.
Cause,
not for that audience.
Cause he'll, yeah, because they'll kill you.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They'll shit on you for weeks.
Did you guys play on, I almost went, because I was in New York at that time, and you guys were just so slammed, and Steve and I kept going back and forth to try to go to your, I think it was Live It with Ryan and Kelly.
Yeah.
And then he was like, call time 6 a.m. I was like, I'll see you in L.A.
Yeah, see you in L.A.
But did you play that early?
Yeah, we wound up playing around 8 o'clock, but
that's still
you know,
so early.
For morning TV though, like I understand the psychology of it. They tell the band, you gotta be here at 5:30 in the morning. You're not going on to because
they don't want to worry.
They don't want you in the room and you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
They lock the door behind you.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, you ain't going nowhere.
You're not gonna take a phone call, you're not gonna be like, we can get 7 a.m. Joker.
Yeah.
I don't know how that guy lives like that.
Seacrest?
Yeah.
It's crazy to get up that early.
Like, he's super cool, super nice guy, you know? But, like, he goes from that show, takes an elevator down, does his show, morning show in L.A., and then he's got American Top 40. He's like...
Idol.
He's got... Does... what else? He's responsible for the Kardashians.
He could probably survive on that cash alone, right?
Yeah,
Survive.
That's a nice way of,
survive. He could probably get Quiznos on the Kardashian residuals.
Now, here's the question. Is there an amount of money that if you hit it, you would be like, I'm never playing a live tour again. I'm never picking up a guitar.
No, because
that's just who you are.
That's what I do.
It's what you love to do.
I would choose my work more wisely.
Yeah.
And I would do it in... a way that I could bring my wife and my daughter,
and the dog, and
the tutor,
just everyone.
You know, if I hit that number,
yeah. So
you know, I couldn't just stop. You know,
like I'm only playing gigs to provide peanuts.
Peanuts on the ride.
Pretzels, consider yourself not an option.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, I mean, I don't know. Is there an amount of money that you guys would?
No, I mean it's
20
just like,
mil.
No. I mean, it's the same thing that you say where you go, I tour a little differently.
Yeah.
You know, the accommodations would be a little different. I'd be more selective with my dates.
Yeah.
But there's absolutely no amount of money. And it's funny because you see like huge rock stars and big bands where they'll have some time off and then they'll either do a side project or they'll do a separate tour or they'll just pop into little rock clubs and just be like, I need to hop on the stage. Like it's... Yeah.
I don't go crazy like that, man. Yeah. I ain't showing up at the open mic in Westfield, New Jersey. Yeah. They're doing Mustang Sally again. Fuck.
But he potentially will come on the About Last Night cruise, Halloween 2020.
If I am able,
do you ever go to a wedding and you see the band and you're like, I should
jump
go.
Up. I should save these guys.
No, I mean, a lot of times they'll have a band.
Mm-hmm.
That'll play before you. And like I was doing some solo acoustic stuff.
That's a show I want to come see next,
it's
by
cool.
the way, man. Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool. Because it's just everything's
unplugged,
broken down.
Right
to the barest thing.
And that's how you start. That's how it all starts, right?
It starts on a guitar.
So when you're playing those acoustic shows, do you get vibes and feelings of just like, man, like back in the garage somewhere?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's
cool.
Weird because there's moments where you go, oh, that's what this is about. You know what I mean? You get
like
these realizations because you don't got a drum set pounding on your head and 50,000 lights in your face.
So you're kind of
Strip the elements.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's very weird because, and I like the idea because I was afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid to do it, so I'm doing it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I got in a plane crash. I was in a plane crash, so I immediately had to go and skydive because I was like, listen, you gotta fly to work.
Yeah.
And like, so and I'm like, to... I am never, like 3 days after it happened, I was like, cool, because I got on a plane 6 hours after it happened. And then about 3 days later, it was like, holy shit, I was in a plane crash. I'm never getting on a plane again. And then I was like, well, you can't do that. So how am I going to get over this? I'm going to go jump out of an airplane. A bunch.
Holy shit.
Wow. And did you do it multiple times? One time?
Yeah, I did it like five jumps.
Did you ever do a solo jump?
I did a tandem,
or were you only
one.
Tandem?
No, I was tandem. I was going to go. Okay. I was going to go. I was training to do like a jump with the two guys.
Yeah.
But by myself.
And then your record company saw that and was like, no!
No, it was like, no, there was a down in Paris Valley is where everybody goes skydiving.
Yes.
And it's really cool.
Yeah.
And, but I was just like, I did it. And then I was just like, and you know, you always, whenever you go to a skydiving place, because I got friends that do tons of it. So
junkies, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got a friend's like 8,000 jumps. He was doing those Birdman suits.
The windsuits, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The Birdman suits. I've seen
nuts.
Those videos. That's
base jumping.
Yeah.
Base jumping. He's insane.
Free basing. Yeah, he does it all. Yeah. Every base. Runs the bases at a jumping. School.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's totally addicted. He's an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah. So then did that cure your fear of flying then, just jumping out of an airplane?
Yeah, that and whiskey.
You know? See, I would only do it if I was a little buzzed. And I'd have to be with somebody, because I don't trust myself being able to pull the string. What's it called?
They pull
the
it for
the ripcord.
Ripcord.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but if it's
you pull it. You pull it.
Oh, you pull it?
And if you fuck up. But this is
Because what if you can't find it and you're trying to scream at him, being like, I don't know where it is. Like, he's going to be able to hear you?
Well, they're videotaping it. I got you know what?
Oh, so there's going to be footage of your death? Let's cut to the clip. I just hope if I do die doing it, that they put it on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Boom. And
your death.
And your family wins at least 10 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay.
They'd have to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's good. But the first time I jumped out of an airplane, they videotape everything.
Sure.
And you know, I wish I could get this video, but that would mean I would have to talk to my old girlfriend, and then yikes.
That's isn't it so happen. Funny? You're like, hey, dude.
Hey, I know it's been like
how
15
you been?
Years.
Yeah.
But,
oh, cool. Your kids. Oh, you're saying what word now? Oh, that's awesome. Let's cut the bullshit. Do you got this
you
video?
You still hate me? I secretly hope all my old girlfriends still hate me. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it
you
means
hope,
they still like you a little.
Do you ever you hope they watch that BMW commercial and goes, I'm so alive. And you're like, and they're just sitting there like, that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh,
or do you think some of them are like, I bet that song's about me?
Well,
here's an idea.
Some of the maniacs that I used to date.
Spitball.
I got low self-esteem, you know? I mean, until I met my wife, I had very, you know, I'm just like, I'm all about the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. By the way, next album title.
Low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit.
By the way, here's
just be like,
and yeah, spitball. And it's just me holding two fruits on the cover.
Whoa.
I mean,
kind of brilliant.
Mind blown. We could do another photo shoot, guys.
Spitball
banana
here.
And apple.
And low-hanging fruit. And the album, every song is you go back and track down however many exes, get a little info on them, and have them, based on that, like you write a song about
Ooh,
them.
Yeah.
And that's every song is about an ex.
Should record a like, hey, how you doing? Check-in phone call.
Yes, before each track.
I can't believe this this one girl.
And then you go into a song on the phone call.
I won't say who this was, but.
Don't say the name.
I'm not, no, of course not.
Sheryl Crow. Yeah. Okay,
no.
Let's move on.
Oh my God.
Brad, this is how rumors get started.
No.
Natalie Imbruglia. Okay, continue.
Leave the Imbruglia family out of this.
Yeah, the Imbruglias are
they
nice,
done to
nice
you?
People. Nona Imbruglia.
Good,
yeah.
Good people.
She makes nice gravy on Sunday.
Yeah.
She's a good lady.
Salt
of
the earth.
Yeah. No, so, this one girl said to me, she said, I was just called, hey, how you doing? And, you know, and I got sober, you know, one of the 5,000 times I got sober.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to like call and make amends and all that bullshit. So. Mm-hmm. So I called her and I said, you know, I'm really sorry, but I was kind of an asshole to you, because I was a total asshole to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just laid into me, and she was screaming at me saying, you know what you did? You ruined my life, and now I met the man of my dreams, and I'm in love. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like your life's ruined. And she's like, fuck you.
You should be thanking me.
I'm so happy I did you a favor.
Yeah.
You would have never found true love if I wasn't such a dick. You know?
That's the gratitude.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
The gratitude you
and
show.
And that's what Miracle Pill is about. It's about her. Hopefully she takes that.
Take that Miracle Pill. Take a chill pill and then a Miracle Pill.
Yeah. She's got an upper dose.
Yeah. The album's phenomenal.
Thank you.
You're the man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for hanging with us.
It's always so great seeing you guys. Man. Yeah. Please.
Can't wait to come out on the next leg of the tour, which starts October, I think, 25th.
Yeah.
Right? In Austin, baby. GoogleDolls.com for all the tour info.
Yeah.
And you guys are so good live, man. I mean, we've seen you a bunch, and it's like, it's extra special.
I love when friends come out.
You guys just like, there's a handful of true rock stars that bring it, and you're.
Robbie, you know, he's got his thing.
He does, man. Jump kick. And he's the mayor.
My head.
Go get the album. Guess what?
Miracle Pill.
Miracle Pill.
Miracle Pill, baby. We love
guys,
you, Johnny.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You,
I love you guys.
Right.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?